This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Early holiday savings have arrived at Tanger Outlets. Discover the best gifts from your favorite brands, perfect for everyone on your list. And stack your savings with up to 70% off, plus an extra 15 to 25% off only during Tanger Style. Save at Polo Ralph Lauren, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, Skechers, J.Crew Factory, and more. Hurry in. These early holiday deals last through November 24th. Tanger Outlets. More savings, more cheer.
Today on Lulz, the return of Shady Advice. Excited to chop it up with him, how his season's been going, things that have been in his neck of the woods. We had a shocking retirement from one of our troll regulars around here in the Lulz YouTube chats, Petty Theft. So we'll talk a little bit about that. And then Petty, you got to come on here and give us the full lowdown. Brian has some thoughts on the election polling and how some of that stuff shook out. We had talked about that a few weeks back. So, you know, a classic Lulz episode here with Pete Brick and guest Shady Advice. Let's do it.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no, and let the DFS cats pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
All right. Brick 75, Shady Advice. Shady, welcome back to Lulz, man. It's been a hot minute.
Happy to be here. Looking forward to it.
Brian, how are you doing? I know you've done a lot of potting with Davis this week, politics, Battle Royale, showing your range.
Yeah, we were talking about hunting by the end of today's show. So that means you've podcasted a long time, you know, once you start devolving into random topics like that.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, I don't remember when we last had you on, Shady, but it's always good catching up with you. How has your DFS season been going?
Good. Hallmark probably be winning the MLB live final. That was good in August, but since then, you know, the ups and downs of the regular season.
Yeah. Are you just playing NFL or are you doing NBA?
Doing NBA as well, and MMA and college football. I think that's it for right now.
Wow. So you're adding on the NBA grind. How has that been now that we're in crossover season?
So DK kept the change where they don't include the night games for most nights, which has been great for someone who likes to go to bed by like 9:30 or so Eastern. You lose a little bit of edge for the late swap there, but to me, that's probably worth the EV. And other than that, you know, until you win, it's not going great. So having a little bit of downswing in NBA, I'll win and I'll be good again.
Brian, are you playing much NBA? I haven't heard you talk about it.
Yeah, a little bit. I played last night, got smoked. But I do enjoy hearing when other DFS pros say they're losing. It just makes me feel, you know, just a little bit better, Pete.
Exactly. I've been actually doing a little of hoops drafting on Underdog. I don't mess around with the DraftKings stuff, but I've appreciated they've been doing like a main slate and then having a late night slate. So like the last game in the main slate will be like the 8:30 tip off Eastern. And I don't know what it is, like football, I have such like a zen approach to sweating. Like I can get out on a Sunday, I'm not checking the app, but NBA just sucks me into the sweat so much. So not having a late game to keep me up sweating has been really nice. Like it'll just, the games are done, the slate is settled, and I'm not checking my phone. So I do appreciate that element too.
Yeah, I wish FanDuel would do that too. It's NBA's singular like that. It's, you know, you really do have to constantly keep track of your phone. It's a weird, it's strange. I wonder if I stop playing DFS like Petty Theft, if I will ever get over that, like checking, having like, oh wait, I gotta check Twitter. Don't want to get screwed. Like it'll probably take like 10 years to get rid of that habit.
Yeah.
Are you
interested? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, are you much of, like, how do you sweat your teams? I think I asked you this on the After Dark, but I can't remember now.
Yeah. Mostly asleep is the answer. Not on Sundays, because that would be insane. But usually Bergman or Whistles Go Will or someone will let me know if there's a sweat going on that I need to pay attention to, and I'll tune in more closely. But I enjoy waking up in the morning to more money, but most often it's a lot less money.
Yes. Yes. Speaking, you mentioned petty theft. So this was what? Yeah. Like literally an hour ago, less than an hour ago.
Like I'll 15 minutes up.
Ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll pull this up on screen here. After playing this past Saturday, it is the end of my playing NBA DFS journey with two young children, some hobbies that I want to spend more time on, and other personal priorities. Finding the time has become challenging. I just realized, I mean, Petty's clearly dropping this just right in anticipation of the Lulz push here. We're on to you, Petty. For over 8 years during the NBA season, 70 plus hours each week went into this. Chess is okay, says up those numbers, buddy. But time and energy aren't what they once were. The grind just doesn't hold the same appeal anymore. NBA has always been my favorite sport with its ability to change on any piece of news. However, the demands require significant commitment. I'll continue to play more casual sports like NFL, but the days of putting in huge hours are behind me. As many pros can attest, we will find out. Finding balance while playing DFS full-time is a difficult challenge. I'm grateful to DraftKings plus FanDuel and the experiences I've been able to share with many of my friends. It'll be a huge change moving on cold turkey from playing, but one I am ready for. Best of luck to everyone out there still grinding. Brian, do you think ChatGPT assisted in the writing of this retirement post?
No. I would guess take the under on that one, whatever the line is. Releasing it, you know, 15 minutes before Lulz, you know, thank you. He, you know, just giving us a little gift, a going away present for us.
Yeah. We're going to be talking about the Onyx rewards for an hour if it weren't for us. So any takes, Shady, I assume you're excited to have petty theft out of your lobbies.
Yeah, miss the shit talking, but enjoy the extra EV that'll be there. Always sad to see him go, though.
Yeah, Brian, any thoughts on this retirement?
I actually kind of knew he was mulling this over from just privately talking with him. So it's not a huge shock to me. I know he wants to like get into actual basketball coaching and stuff like that. So hopefully he can get more time to get some resumes out there and get into what he wants to do in IRL. It's also, you know, I would say it's also a sign of how hard the games have gotten. Not that Petty couldn't still win if he wanted to, but just that I think if it was still as easy for him as it was before, I mean, easy in quotes, right? 70 hours a week or whatever he's doing. He could put in half the time and still make a decent amount of money. Why not do it? But you can't, you know, apparently he doesn't think he can. So the games are getting tougher. Surprise, surprise to no one.
Well, and I my guess would be there's an element to, he clearly has his process, how he attacks NBA and whatever goes into his overall research and prep work. And it's probably hard to think of a version of that that's at like a 50% throttle, where it's basically like this all or nothing. This is what I know can succeed. Maybe I could throttle that down to 60, 70% and have similar success, but it's like almost probably scary or hardwired to even know if you want to attempt that.
Right.
It's hard to know if you'd still be good enough, right? Like you've decided to spend both time and money now on something that might not be as good. And then you might be just punting in both aspects.
Yeah.
In a pure, like no baller too, right? So he's getting his takes from watching a lot of NBA, I think, and making adjustments based on what he's watching, what he's seeing and what he's thinking. I'm sure he's got plenty of little tricks and stuff, but like he might have said this on the show. I can't remember over the years. Like he thinks like his tricks and stuff, he could show somebody in like 5 hours or something, you know, like a couple hours of direct training. He thinks he can give someone a lot of tips. A lot of it is derived from actually grinding.
So Yeah, I mean, the 5 hours, though, that sounds like a nice little in-game acquisition there for a course. Get the little petty theft course on the way out there.
Maybe. We've asked him already. So I don't know what he's going to do. But yeah, that would be nice if he wants to do something with us. But that's just a rumor guy. We know. he's I didn't know he was announcing this at all. And who knows what he wants to do?
Yeah. I mean, it's been a, you know, last week we were talking about, you know, the Roto Grinder stuff. You have some of these top DFS players retiring. Hopefully I'm not speaking out of school here. We had asked Ricky D if he wanted to come on the podcast. He's like, I'm barely playing. Don't have much to say anymore about the DFS space. It's enough that makes me think it's a trend and not just some one-off, you know, things.
Yeah, I wish Ricky would come on. Maybe we should ask him again another time. Like, who cares if you're not playing anymore? It's not the point. Not the point, really. But yeah, let's see if we can get Travis on, and he can tell us in his own words instead of all of us guessing.
Yeah. Where are you at, Shady? You see the 70 hours here. How many hours a week are you spending on DFS right now, would you say? Because you're playing a lot of sports.
Yes. I mean, the whole reason I do what I do, the way I do it, is so that I don't have to spend many hours doing it. And so, like, it probably takes me to actually play a sport 15 minutes before lock, and then late swaps, if there has to be that, for about 10 minutes for each late swap window. Obviously, there's a lot of time that goes into getting yourself prepared for that, but or making things better if you want to keep up with it. But if I had to, you know, stop doing that, I could keep playing and put that time in.
Yeah.
And that's important since I have a real life job as well. So I don't have an extra 70 hours in my week to study NBA players' behavior.
So you fall on the spectrum of knowing ball is not a prerequisite for being a successful DFS player.
Definitely not a prerequisite. Definitely a benefit. I'm definitely not as good a player as if I had spent more time doing it. I think it's just an opportunity cost, and friends, family, hobbies, jobs.
Yeah.
Higher priority.
Have you been able, like, you're a very quantitative type of person. Have you tried to put it like how much you could boost your ROI, like on a given sport, if you were like, I'm going to consume a lot and try to be a ball knower?
No, I would have to. You can get some idea by figuring out how good the players are who are better than you. Like, you can just measure people's ROI because you have the contest CSVs and figure out, okay, if that's probably the cap of somebody who knows a lot, and you probably can't get above that. But I haven't actually put the time in to take the 5-hour course from Petty to know what I would need to do each week to get better. And so that I haven't tried to actually see what happens.
Is that the same for you these days still, Brian?
I think we've touched on this before. I think there was like a point somewhere along the DFS timeline, like 2018 or something, where, cause I used to do all my own projections for all the sports, and where that became, you actually did have to be a petty theft kind of, you know, Utica bro to get significantly better than the publicly available ones, the ones you can pay for that are pretty decent. And when that happened, I kind of slowly stopped doing my own and just started using theirs. And then you can adjust theirs if you really want to with some extra information, instead of keeping your own database and algorithms and everything, and, you know, years of historical stats and stuff, and then adjusting that. And then you have to adjust on top of that too, because it doesn't take account everything. And it's really a pain in the ass. But back then it was worth it, because even if you weren't even that good, it's still better than the phone shitter bros. You know what I mean? They were just, you know, looking at the data on the app, like, oh, the last 10 games. Let's see here. Okay, he's done good lately. You know, so there was like a point there where you either had to go the route of whatever they're doing and put more time into making your own projections, which some people still do, I imagine. They probably put a lot of effort in just to that statistical process of projections, you know, like a fan graphs type of thing, but your private version of it. And I imagine you could still squeeze some EV out of it if you really do put time and effort into it. But once that happened, somewhere around 2018, let's say, maybe a little later than that, I felt like, it's probably not worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's it's funny because, like, in, you know, on Underdog, there's a few spots like that where there still is like the phone shitter bro dynamic, you know, these primetime Palooza slates where there's no ADP and they kind of have some default projections in there that ranked, and generally like the onesie positions get too overvalued and stuff. So there are some like opportunities there where it's like just doing a little bit, like putting in your own ranks, looking at some projections can get you an advantage on that. But yeah, I mean, on DraftKings, that stuff seems long gone.
Yeah, I would say so. The BRs are different too, though. You know, you're playing against someone directly. It's more closer to poker, and you really are putting in. You have to put in the time there. You really have no choice. Like, you're sitting there drafting, you know, for the most. I mean, I know you can auto in NBA kind of and PGA probably, but like, you're definitely putting in some more manual hours in playing snake drafts.
Yeah. There's a chunk of guys who, like, you know, they don't have it in the lobby this week. The Wildcat, they had the $3 150 max contest, and because of some of those rake back tiers and people wanting to get to 1,000 drafts, people I know were autoing those with just, you know, good ranks, adjusting them a little bit, just being like, even if I can just be like a min cash merchant in these and just hover enough to get me to the rake back tier, you know, I've decided that the EV is worth it. But yeah, the autoing NFL is pretty hard. I forget what you said. You said something about in game, and it realized, I think I heard somewhere. Did Yuta have just a shit ton of money down on Trump on election night?
Yeah, he did. He was posting in there some of his tickets. I don't know what he didn't. He didn't give me an exact number, but it was enough to buy a house, I think.
What was his, what's the equivalent to like Yuta ball knowing on the election? Was he revealing how the sausage got made there?
Oh yeah. I think he said, let me go to the channel. He said, well, what happened was I woke up and wanted to sweat, so I bet 200K. Then it took an hour to get the crypto over, so I might as well grind this. Polls closed, Trump outperforming in early states, voting and early non-swing states correlate to the swing states later, so I just kept adding every hour at worse and worse odds. Shout out to EM2, carried a lot for him, apparently.
Wow. Lots to unpack there. First of all, Shady, did you do any election night betting?
I did not. I was doing a lot of drinking. It's not mixed well with betting.
Yeah. I did not stay up for the results there. You mentioned, so he was helping Empire Maker, or Empire Maker was helping him get bets down.
Probably get him bet. Yeah, probably the other way around.
Wow. Did Empire return to Twitter? Has he been active on there?
I think he might have a burner active somewhere.
Ooh.
We tried to get him. Remember,
you've entered this era, Brian, where you have so much, like every topic we have, you have. I watch you doing this mental filtering where you have some inside information like on something, and then you're realizing like, how much can I say on stream? You have become one of the oligarchs of the DFS space that you like to rally against, Brian. You are the one withholding information from the people.
That's true. Wouldn't we say this is private information though? So different than DFS.
Knew about Petty's retirement, knows about Yuta's action, knows about his beard. I mean, you know everything.
That's true. It's true. I mean, what can I say, Pete? It's all true.
Shady, do we need to start grilling Brian? Anything you'd like to hold his feet to the fire for?
Not yet. Anyways, we'll figure out. I need some beef with somebody, and then I'll try to get the dirt on them.
But. Yeah.
Yeah. John says in chat, Rufus took a bath.
Yes. Yeah, I saw his betting card getting circulated around.
Well, let's talk about Nate Silver. Do you want to do that for really quick?
Yeah. Yeah. That's how I wanted to get us on the political stuff. Okay. You said you had some thoughts on the polling.
So I got, let me lay this out for you. So the way I look at it as Nate Silver is what he kind of did was find like an inefficiency in the public polling, the public polls out there. So like the Rasmussen poll leans Republican. Okay, how much does it lean there, right? Can we quantify that? And then the Seltzer poll leans Democrat. How much? And then if we adjust for all these changes, we could find a real number from these public polls on what we're expecting to see. I think that's what he was doing in the early 2000s and stuff when he first started blowing up before he got the New York Times deal. And there's also, like, in from my experience working in politics for a while, there's private polling that we never see that they pay for, you know, out of pocket from campaigns. It's internal polling that I think is generally way more accurate than these public polls. And these public polls are also meant to, like, lean public perception and drive turnout or kill turnout in certain areas. There's a whole game going on with them. I just think that that edge is, like, dead. You know, the one, the edge that he had and kind of trying to adjust for this public polling is not really worth it, or it doesn't really show anything, and he should just completely go in a different direction. Like, he should try doing his own polling, like, be a real pollster, right? Like, real pollsters are, like, trying to figure out what questions you can ask. How can you ask these questions to get, like, an accurate response? Who do you call? What cohorts do you call? You know, just all sorts of different tricks. And then, like, you know, do you lean voters? Do you, you know, how do you adjust for these? You know, it's a lot of statistical ideas and thoughts that they come up with. Like, if he really wants to keep going with this, you know, who am I to tell Nate Silver anything? But I think he really should try to be an actual pollster and just screw this public polling aggregate nonsense. It's over. I think in 2020 he was wrong a lot too, even though a lot of people still defend him. I think he was wrong in one direction, three polls in a row, pretty far off. This time way off. Do you guys have any thoughts on the polling on Nate Silver?
You go, Shady.
One of the things I like to be aware of, or self-aware of, are things I'm an expert in and things I am not. Election polling is, I think, I'm not an expert in. I do know most of the statistical methods they do it and the ways that you can do sort of research around it, various ways you can ask questions. You know, the only thing I can think of that I've seen good evidence of is that there's a lot of herding in public polls that there is not in private polls, right? There's no incentive, unless you want to get rehired by the person who hired you to do the private poll, to give an answer that is centralized to what other people are saying or leans to them. I don't know. Are you saying he should hire polls? Like, there are people who you can hire to do polls for you. Like, it happens. But you think he should hire them to answer specific questions? You think he should, like, figure out his own sampling test techniques around landlines and
polls? Yeah, I think he should try to become his own pollster. Maybe secondarily start hiring these private polling people. I just think the idea of trying to adjust for public polling is kind of like dead. Like, it's like, it's not predictive. You're going to find that, because he's trying to find which ones are more reliable, which ones are biased where, and all that stuff to give a real quote unquote real number. And it's like, yeah, that's not real. This is a waste of your time.
I don't know that you can, like, you have one observation of one sampling bias of the directionality of a polling error, which is compounded by the herding. So I don't know that you can say for sure that there's an issue in the polling unless you know, like, aside from the herding, which you can observe, and the sampling distribution to expect polls of that size to have. I'm not sure how you can be confident enough that you would be able to fix that.
Brian, how much of it is, like, you know, we talk about DFS, it's just one slate, you know, it's just one slate event. Like, how much of this election stuff is just one slate versus can you build up enough sample size with these polls, you know, for other runoff races, and actually be like, and then I can apply this to this? Or is it just like once every 4 years, like, this is the sample size I have to work with to actually fine tune a presidential model?
Yeah, maybe the task is not doable. I mean, that might be an answer. But I think if, like, what are we trying to do here? Are we trying to adjust for these public polls in aggregate and adjust for their biases? Or are you trying to make the best prediction possible? And I think if you're trying to make a prediction, he needs to start doing it himself. Just like we would do with DFS or any of these other games we do with predictions. You know, you don't just like trying to mess with these aggregates is just a different game. It's like, who cares anymore? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, you're trying to predict. So do it yourself. Now, I'm not a pollster either. You know, Shady, whenever, you know, I say on the show, I'm not an expert in this, but I won't let that stop me. Okay. I can tell you my opinion.
Yeah.
I think he needs to make, who knows what this, that's kind of the point of trying to beat these games, is you figure it out before everyone else. So maybe he'll come up with something cool and different and new, like adjusting for the aggregate total of public polling. I don't know. For me, it's played. It was an inefficiency in the early 2000s. That edge is gone. Do something new.
Yeah. It'll be interesting how his, you know, his reputation, you know, and how that leads to him, you know, because people turn to him as a credible, you know, pundit and pollster, and like how much of that. He just had a book come out. We were talking about that a few weeks ago. Like, how much is this going to hurt his career as kind of like a trusted source?
I think it'll hurt pretty bad. He gets hate from both sides. I don't think a lot of it's fair, honestly, even though it seems like I'm giving it just as much as they are. You know, I've read at least one of his books. I think he's a fine writer, but he's also not working for the New York Times anymore, so they're not going to defend him. So he's not dead yet, though. He's not done yet. I think he could come back. This is actually, I'm serious. Like, I think he might be able to. He might be able to pull it off. He's a smart guy. He beats games, you know. But like the angle, I think, is dead. You know, like, it's like, yeah, aggregate polls, whatever. Like, maybe he could use that somehow in a new measure or something, you know, something. But yeah, I think he should try coming up being like an actual pollster. Maybe hiring people. He's probably got enough dough to like.
It feels a lot like DFS to me, though, right? Like, if you think that there are people out there putting a bunch of money and effort into doing something well, coming up with projections or polls, it's probably easier to figure out how to correct those. Maybe the way you're correcting it isn't correct anymore and you need to adjust that. But like, if you think they're doing it well, your effort is better spent figuring out how to de-bias those issues than it is to build from scratch a polling empire. I don't know, a polling business, for lack of a better term.
It also seemed like he was already, you know, his first book, Signal of the Noise, and a lot of it was about kind of like the election stuff and why his models were able to spot that. But now that his new book is all about like different parts of the river, which, you know, his like kind of degenerate advantage play kind of phrase that he used, but looking at the poker communities, the sports betting communities, it seems like he does have interest in these other sectors. I wonder if this just like pushes him, like, I just don't want to deal with this politics shit. Like, I'd rather go do something else where the bar and the intensity is a lot lower.
Or if you're right 10 out of every 15, whatever it is, poker things or other advantage play, you get credit for it. Whereas if you're right, you know, 10 out of exactly. every 15 elections, you're dead by the time anyone realizes that's a good edge to have.
Yeah.
Depends on how much dough he's getting. Like, if he's getting 90% of his dough from election coverage, and it's kind of hard to stop. I just think he could try something new. You know, he's smart. He's smart enough. I think what Shady just described as, you know, the if you think there's these polls that you can edit, you know, you can edit and be more accurate. I think that's what he's been doing. He's been trying. I think that's specifically what he's doing. So, and he's just not winning anymore. I would say it's three in a row. 2020 wasn't as bad, but it easily could have been, you know, just, you know, 30,000-40,000 vote different swing, and he's really toast three times in a row, because he's not doing it. He's just adjusting for other people's work.
And he's not a real how they do it. It's the same way, like, if stochastic changes the way they do their projections, I'm still adjusting the way I was before, I get fucked harder than I would be if I didn't adjusting, right? And so if you don't, if you do your own polling, at least you know the methodology about how you got to those. Yeah, but if you're relying on other people's polls.
Yeah, we talked about that a bunch. It's important to know what your providers are doing, especially in Sims too. Like, what are they doing? And then you don't want to double count. You don't want to double adjust. So you should know what they're doing. And like, you know, some of these companies, like in DFS world, like, they let people go and they have new people doing the projections. You don't know that. And so And so like, yeah, that's one of the benefits in DFS and gambling is doing it yourself. You know, everything that's baked in there, you know, I was talking to Justin Freeman. He's like, I know where the bodies are buried, you know, on my stuff, but I don't know on somebody else's. So, I think he should go try if he wants. Maybe he doesn't want to. Maybe you're 100% right. And he's just like, you know, I'm kind of into all this other stuff. So like, I'm donezo. And, more props to him. Like, do whatever you want. But if he's going to keep doing it, I think he should try a bottom-up approach.
Speaking of that, Shady, like, do you are there any – it sounds like you didn't do any election betting. Are there any other kind of, like, new non-DFS markets where you find your interest getting pulled to or something you'd like to explore?
Are you including playoff best ball in that? Because that is the next thing. I mean, like, you know, not really. I think I'm not sure if we talked about this on Malls or if it was on Endgame or someone's show, but like the reason I do this is because I sort of, as an IC, sorry, an individual contributor, I stopped actually being the person who wrote code and did the modeling for a while. And so this was a good way to like spend a hobby to keep myself sharp on things. I do enjoy the money making aspect of it, but I would have to find something else fun that was a fun thing to solve. Much like Nerdy Tenor, I enjoy solving the game aspect of it.
That makes sense.
That's the kind of mindset I'm talking about, honestly.
Brian? Are you dabbling? Did you do any election betting? Have you been in any other markets, crypto stuff lately?
I didn't. I was thinking about it because that Kelsey got some sort of court ruling to make it legal for Americans to bet on there. So I was, because I didn't want to do the whole, you know, whatever overseas ones or the, I have to move crypto around to get, you know, some money down. I didn't want to do, I think Polymarket. And I didn't end up pulling the trigger, but I probably will next time. And after 2020, you know, I was pretty wrong in 2020, 2022. And so I was gun shy anyways. Yeah, you know, now that Nate was so wrong, I was like, you know, maybe I should look into it. I don't know how much time you want to spend on that though, because there's not that many elections. You know what I mean? Like, you got the midterms in the big boy, and that's basically it.
Well, it was funny to see that in our circles, right? Because, you know, we love to pattern match things. And so it was like last election, there was this generational wealth opportunity with the polls initially being wrong. You know, Blender was all over it, you know, making all this money. And so everyone was like, all right, you just sit back and wait for the early returns to come in. And then you fade those and oppo bet it and print money. And it's like, well, that didn't happen this year because that was like a unique situation and you have to apply context. And I'm not saying Blender had it wrong this year or whatever, but it was like, you're clearly sitting around looking for an opportunity. It doesn't mean there is going to be an opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. I like, wasn't that like seriously, like that mindset was really like gambling fallacy 1.1, you know, is like, oh, this happened last time, so it's going to happen again this time. Right. Of course, you just wait until the election starts, then they'll all dump money into Trump. And then at, you know, midnight, everything will flip again. That only happened once.
I think it honestly goes back to even your initial thing you said, you'd be like, I want to sweat tonight. I think so many people, they didn't have NBA, the NFL contests weren't up yet. Like, everyone's just like, I need to sweat tonight. I need to do something. The prize pool for hockey was like $500 on Underdog. And it was like, all right, I guess I'm going to sweat the election. And then what does our crew self-select? Like, I want to get it in good. I want to have a sharp angle. And I think that just kind of like self-fulfilling prophecy was like, we're going to print money tonight. Yeah.
I think it did make some people some money though, because like the odds, well, cause like, if you looked at Nate Silver, we had Harris at 53% at 10:30 PM.
Wow. Like,
and the betting markets around then. So that would have been what, 9:30 here. Cause I was watching them. It was 9:30 here. It would have been like 88% or something. The betting markets on Trump. So he was like way up, but like the reason I'm saying that is cause I think, even at 88% or whatever, I think there was a lot of money holding off because they want or betting the other side because of 2020. And I don't think you're going to get that opportunity every time because it had the weird 2020 outcome. So like, I think some people made a decent amount of cash strictly because of what happened in 2020.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
But
go ahead.
I think, Dan's talking about Polymarket and stuff, which should be a sponsor. I do think it was a huge win for the betting markets. We had a ton of money, a decent amount of money bet on Polymarket and Kalshi. I mean, it's millions. But the point being, if the legal process stays the same or even widens, I think that, Nate Silver maybe should not even try to do a bottom-up approach because they'll probably be the most accurate if they start getting into the unmanipulable handle range.
This is an interesting take by Nerdy, too, that there's some weird incentives for Nate Silver. If he moves significantly away from the market and is correct, he seems like a genius, which was kind of like his whole thing that he did the first time around where, the rewards of him being right on the outlier are far better than him taking the slight favorite or whatever. But it also seems like in general, there was a lot of wish casting. Like it was from all of the different sides, right? Like it seemed like there was some biases seeping into all of that stuff where, Republican pollsters or Republicans were convinced they were going to win, Dems the same, their polls. And then the quants in the middle were like, I ran 80,000 simulations and it was a coin flip.
Yeah, I would really love to see the internal polling numbers from the Harris and Trump campaign because I do think the reputable polling companies like Anzalone and List and stuff, like you're not seeing their numbers, right? People are paying hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for the private ones. My guess is based on the actions of the Harris campaign in the last 3-4 weeks, that the internal polling showed they were down and it wasn't 50-50. I could be wrong, but that's my guess.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know, right? It's just like, it's like sports betting kind of, like the people who get that inside info are actually the ones who are moving the lines.
Yeah. Do you have interest in that, Shady, if like those prediction markets and stuff become a bigger way to kind of facilitate, peer-to-peer gambling?
Yeah, I think the peer-to-peer stuff I find quite interesting. I have no interest in sports books are not peer-to-peer. But if there's a rake-based peer-to-peer thing, that becomes quite interesting to me.
What's your take on the pick six stuff? Have you guys seen this? Like they just moved the rake to like 40% or something?
Yeah, 40%? So jeez. I think some of that comes back in the guaranteed minimum payouts when they really fuck up the amount they have to pay out, right? I think it's probably because that's there, it's probably not really 40% rate, but the optics of it are close to 40%. So there's like this is a weird tangent. So there's like the in designing of products and games and stuff, there's this concept of like non-dissatisfaction. We are trying to get as many people to not say they dislike your thing as possible and like optimizing for that and not trying to find a bunch of people who really like the thing you're doing. And it feels a lot like DraftKings is trying to do that rather than find people who really love the format of the game. They're trying to get as many people as they can who don't mind it and will still put money down, which just makes for kind of a crap game, if we're being honest, where the rewards you get aren't as good as you want them to be. For me, there's no CSV edit, so like I'm never going to touch it. I think it was very interesting when the lines didn't move, and so you were actually betting stale lines and trying to figure out ownership of stale lines and all that stuff could have been an interesting game. But now that you're betting live lines and they're just trying to hack it together in the back end to make it look like a parlay product, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Brian?
I mean, I've played it a little bit, but mainly just because they keep like throwing bonuses at you to try to get you to play it. But like they've made like three changes, I think now, three significant changes, and each one was like worse than the last one. So it's kind of a bummer. And I have not run the map. Listen, I want cool new games, trust me. So I want all this stuff to succeed. But I saw someone, who was it? Somebody posted on their sports projections or Nelson or somebody that it's worse than the picks, the pick'ems. You just go do pick'ems, and you got a better better edge, which stinks because, you know, the Pick'ems, you're not playing against each other, right? It's just pure book.
Well, it depends. Like the one in my state, the way the underdog does it, they call it the champions. And so I'm technically in a pool people, and then they're paying out within that pool. Some states still have the straight pick'ems, but a lot of it is now that champions. Yeah.
Pick six is the champions one too, where champions. You're just in a pool of things, but they guarantee various payouts like it was a progressive parlay. And that's why the rate gets weird. And so, because they used to have it where if you were the only person who got six of six, you actually got, you know, a large top heavy payout, but now they've floored it so that you can only get 20X or whatever it is.
Which kind of defeats the fun of the game theory aspect, where it's like, if I'm contrarian and win, I could get an outsized chunk of the prize pool.
Yeah. And it's the changing is what pisses me off. Like I got pretty pissed off at DraftKings for changing their NBA format mid season last, I put a bunch of time into solving a game and then I want at least a season to realize that edge before they fuck with it. And this just isn't something that I believe that is going to be stable enough to solve, put the time in, grind it, and then they'll change something and you'll have to redo it all.
I basically just totally agree with that, but just playing devil's advocate, there is a game of chance in Star Wars where the cards change randomly.
Save it for your shows with Davis, Brian.
I don't know anything about sci-fi, Pete. I'm just I've heard from nerds. But anyways, if you do randomize a little bit, it does make it more friendly to they have a better noobs have a better chance and stuff like that, and you it's harder to solve the game quickly. I still think they probably should not be doing most of this stuff, but I just kind of always have had that in the back of my mind of what if they had what if it was a random structure each day, they would switch it up, and then that way all these solvers, all these optimizers are kind of out the window. And then and everyone's kind of playing on the same field.
Wouldn't they, you mentioned the pick six thing and the rake being jacked up. If you're introducing a new game, don't you need to do a heavy promotional marketing blitz that involves you eating some cash to get it out there? No rake, tons of bonuses, overlay, kind of like what Yahoo did when they were trying to gain some market share traction. Make everyone pay attention, be like, this is where a positive expected value spot is. I have to go pay attention to this.
Yeah. I could see that. The rake part, I would say just the rake part, that's just lame. Yeah. that's a no win. The only Daniel Negreanu moment though, you could have, more rake is better. The only thing is if it allowed the, Shady was kind of getting at this, the minimums to be higher and the guaranteed to be. So there's almost guaranteed overlay. Something like that. And then, you use the high rake to kind of minimize your loss as a company, but it's going to be overlaid X percent of the time because they're making it so high. They're, for marketing purposes, I could see something like that maybe, but generally speaking, yeah, if they're just raising rake, fuck you.
Yeah. I have not done any of the math, but my understanding is they are probably not actually raising the rake above the fucking 20% or whatever it really was to start with, which was obscene to be. I think they're just the optics of it look like higher rake because they've guaranteed more minimum payouts or something that they're more frequently going to pay out than more than 1,000 in a contest. Like that contest will overlay because they have to pay out more money in that particular outcome of the six number of people who got money.
Okay. They but should have that then, like an effective rake number somewhere. Effectively we pay this.
Well, because they can't, right? Because it depends on what people play, right? So if everyone plays something that all and everyone is frequently min-cashing or getting stuff at a rate that makes it they have to pay out the guarantees, then they're paying negative rake, right? But if it's everyone's a fish, because they're guaranteed payout based on your performance, not based on your ranking in a field of people, the payout isn't fixed for each contest they run.
Well, I was thinking more they just say based on the last 1,000,
oh yeah, like they do this in the history. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Say like the way they do the DFS, X number of people were profitable in the last month type of thing.
I know you guys both wanted to talk about some Onyx rewards. You guys want to set the table for what's going on with that?
Go ahead, Chady. You're into it.
Yeah, so as the annual tradition, they've released what the Onyx rewards will be. I think we flipped through and there were some sort of interesting ones in there. There's a safari, both a family safari and a couple safari. There's, what are the other weird things in there? Oh, there's like a golf cart, like an electric golf cart. what are the other meme-y ones?
Well, we could probably get the link, right? Pete, do you have the link anywhere?
No, if you guys have it, you know, believe it or not, I do not qualify for these, so I don't have this link, you know, just on standby. But if you want to send it to me, I'll get it pulled up.
I don't remember where I put it. I just assumed one of us would have it handy.
Yeah, I don't have it handy either.
Let's see if I can find it.
Is this year?
Did somebody post it in one of someone posted one of our forums.
Yeah, I'll send it to you.
Okay, you got it? Okay, perfect.
It's on the wrong computer.
I just know there was no... There was no weekend getaway with RFK Jr. Falconry weekend. So, you know, I'm not having any of this. They also, Pete, they just did like a random giveaway for like this type of thing for Onyx tier people.
All right, Shady sent it to me. I got it here. I'll pull this up. Is the golf cart replacing? Is it the spiritual
instead
success
of the e-bike?
The motorbike?
I believe so.
I could actually see getting that golf cart on the right if I had the right piece of property.
I like that for you, Brian. All right, here we go. Look at that. That is such like an aggro. That's a Trump's America golf cart right there. That's not this administration golf cart.
It's a cyber cart, I guess.
Yeah, there's a flamethrower on the side of it. The scooters.
That is a badass golf cart, I mean.
God, Brian, I would give anything to see you cruising around in this.
Oh yeah, I'd bring that to the course if I had a course, you know, like a home course. And it's got Apple Play, right? You could play some. What do you play? What kind of music do you play in a car like that?
You're playing like you got to be playing like Metallica, or maybe Bruce Springsteen too.
No boss in that car. I'm thinking maybe more like, you know, country or something.
Yeah. So what's catching your eye in here, Shady?
I don't, it's going to be one of the trips somewhere. I haven't actually looked at them yet, probably. I did see that there was a safari. There was something else that looked good in there. I think you can, I don't think they sold any. You can sort by credits.
Already did your falconry in Ireland, right? You're
that was in that. Scotland. but yes. which was quite actually very, very fun. We'll do something.
Let me see. Why won't they let me?
You should be able to sort by cost descending on the top right there. And at least you'll get the, because you're capturing screen, I can't actually see. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Golf simulator, that's good for this crowd. Greek Isle indulgence.
Yeah, we did Santorini recently, so it's possible we aren't going to do that one, but that's always nice.
Choose your ultimate Disney adventure, Asian Odyssey to Thailand. Mountain meditation in the Dunton Hot Springs. Couples Jamaican experience, golf at Pebble Beach. How many credits do you guys have?
They had Pebble Beach last time. Last year I had like four or five, I think.
Caps at six this year. The six is the answer for what I have.
Have you developed a proprietary Onyx rewards optimizer to see how you get the best bang for your six credits?
No, but the crowns I have been hoarding until they ever run a Black Friday sale again. So maybe I'm the sole reason why they don't run that each year.
Yeah, they used to have good ones, like good Christmas ones too. They had that home studio, that home golf simulator. I looked into it last. They had I didn't like the what's it called? They used the
Bender,
the track golf track. What is it called? Like the actual simulator piece. That looks like a different one though. What is that? A quad four? No,
I'm not up to date on golf simulator specs.
Yeah, it looks like the wrong one. Dan says he would play Brahms Academic Festival Overture in his golf cart. Do you imagine you're like shanking the ball all over the place, and then like nerdy tenor rolls up in this beast of a golf cart blasting Brahms, like, can I go ahead? Can I hit through? He just blasts a 320 yard drive down the middle.
I want a picture that he has his keyboard in there too, and is just drafting a few battle royales at the same time, pecking away.
He's got like nerdy tenor decals on the side.
What people want to know what prize do we think Davis would choose here? Whatever one like Davis could then go resell at a pawn shop, I think is which one.
Yeah, it's probably the e-bikes or something. Those have pretty decent resale value, right? Or the scooters, there's like some electric scooters or something this year that are similar. The Apple stuff is always a good resell one. Oh, the ultimate meat delivery gave me a good cackle.
Maybe you just buy the lawnmower as an investment in your new business. I think that could work out well.
That actually seems like a kind of a good deal. 2 credits for that lawnmower. Yeah. I don't know how to, I don't know how you drive that thing, but
they have to it would be such good content if they released the stats on like what was the most cashed in for or whatever. It'd be cool to see that.
What is the staff meeting like on here? It's like, you know, we got to get the Cub Cadet Zero on this list, guys. Like, we don't get, you know, if we don't get a golf cart that you could use during the apocalypse, like, I don't know what we're doing here.
They have to be fully outsourcing this to some company who puts all this together. Mm-hmm. There can't be a single bit of DraftKings oversight of like, oh man, you forgot the Garmin golf accessories. Make sure those are in there.
And then these companies are like, what are these degenerate gamblers like?
Espresso machines.
I do like this. Forget touching grass. Cutting grass is what's
that's the new cutting grass is the new touching grass.
Yeah. What wasn't it last time you said wasn't like the watch the best like bang for your buck?
That's what I thought. Yeah. Well, it's also like you got like space and storage concerns, right? And a watch you could just put anywhere. So that's what I've rocked the last few years. But I had an extra credit, so I got that e-bike they had last year. Do they have that again? Because it was like a really good deal. It was like $3,000 electric bike for one tier, one credit.
And do like, you use it?
Got the upgraded one by accident.
I've used it once. Better model.
You've used it once.
Yeah, see, this is credit. Yeah, this isn't nearly as nice as the last bike they had.
This, like, no offense, this looks like a child's bike. Like, just the way like it's angled and stuff does not look like an adult rides this thing.
Yeah, I'm not getting that thing. No, thank you.
Why would you get a second bike in the first place? You've used your other one once. Okay. Man. So when do you have to decide, or when do you have to cash your stuff in?
They don't launch until January. So we'll like find out apparently. And I don't know if that countdown is even active, but January is when you actually.
I will say if you do have a choice, you should do it early because they do run out of inventory.
Wow. Are you paid by big DraftKings to get the FOMO going in here?
Brian, did you get the slippers or the jacket?
I got the slippers. What'd you do?
Neither. They couldn't confirm to me that it wasn't tax prize. I was like, neither of these are worth $500
to me. Yeah.
Usually they're like, yeah, no, this is not tax. But they're like, they took 2 weeks trying to figure it out. And apparently no one there could actually say whether or not the gift was taxable on the 1099. I was like, I don't want to.
Yeah, well, no big loss, I think. I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll be all right.
That NFL jacket.
I don't know who got that. I'd love to know who got those and or what they're doing with $1,000 NFL leather jacket.
I'm certainly not the demographic for that type of apparel, but like, I don't know who would wear that fucking thing. It's like, speaking of not being an expert, but giving opinion anyway, not a fashion. That's not me. Some of the fucking outfits these young guys are wearing are like, don't you know you will look absolutely ridiculous in these pictures 10 years from now? Like you have to notice.
Well, you guys are gonna have to keep us posted on what you end up rolling with. I feel like I didn't even know, Brian, that you had bought a bike before. You really slipped that one past me.
I'm pretty sure I mentioned it, but you know, unfortunately, since I'll never ride it, you'll never see a picture of me on it, but maybe I'll get one of those if I can pull it off.
Well, that's why that golf cart's going to be the best way to store that electric bike. You're just going to put that on the back of it. You're going to cruise around.
I will say riding the riding a bike saying, it wasn't as easy as I remembered it right off the bat. I haven't ridden a bike since I was a kid.
Now we're learning why you only used it once. It was because you got like, how to ride a bike.
Okay. Okay.
Started off trying
you know
to
the other saying, Brian?
Drive around a little bit and then you get it. But man,
the other saying is practice makes perfect. So why don't you get back on that thing, Brian, and you'll pick it up in no time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sweet, actually. It's a cool piece of technology.
Shady, you guys got anything going on at Leg Up? I know you were helping out during the off season on the Sidekick and the best ball product. Are you working on anything right now?
Yeah, we'll be releasing a playoff best ball tool, quite similar to what you experience for normal best ball. It'll be very similar to what you did last year for playoff best ball, but this time it'll be integrated into the extension and things like that.
Yeah, because you guys had the product last year for playoff best ball. It was just not an overlay. It was a separate page. Correct. So I assume you guys are marrying that idea concept with the Sidekick functionality.
Yeah, it'll be nice not having to enter your own picks in for each time you're doing stuff. Bring back multi-tabling, all the good things that having that allows you to do.
Very cool. And man, we can't be even that far away from the early playoff contest.
Yeah, way too early contests. Yeah, it feels for about a week or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's before Thanksgiving for sure, but you know, within the next week or two, I'm expecting.
How does that work? I'm curious. So let's say you take a player from a team who's on the bubble and then they don't get in. You're dead, or do you get to
dead?
There's zeros.
Oh, okay. That can't be plus EV drafting too early in those then.
Well, it is though, because you can build like an example, and it didn't pan out, but like the Browns last year were like free because people didn't think they were going to make. And if you had a read as their playoff odds and you could just back stack Flacco, Amari, Njoku, Jerome Ford, and then like you had these like pretty high powered juggernauts. So like, it's like anything, right, Brad? Like there's the pros and cons to drafting early and late, like more dead teams, but also the chance at a super team.
I know, it just seems like that can't possibly be make up the EV for the dead teams.
Yeah, I mean, so like it's mostly like you can't, so some of it is the teams who make it who don't. The others is like you could not build at the end of the draft, you can't build a CMC plus San Francisco pass catcher at all because he goes too early, and then by the time they come back, all the Ravens and Ayuk and Kittle's were all gone last year by that time. But some people had those super teams that they're able to build because there's more uncertainty about whether or not they would be the first seed in the playoffs, all those sorts of things.
And that's a really good point, because obviously like the whole thing is your team stacking, and because the playoff pool is wider right now, there's more alphas who can stretch the first tier of players. Whereas as we lose playoff teams, that condenses. So the top players on the top teams are all going super early, where right now you might have a stray, let's say like Justin Jefferson, I don't even know what the Vikings, like he's going to push that guy out who's for sure going to make the playoffs, that won't be pushed out like when we get close to the playoffs starting basically. So you could still just load up on teams that have a really high expected chance to make the playoffs, but be able to get combos of those, like Shady was saying, that you wouldn't be able to later.
I'm also hoping to do some time box tournaments. I love those, even if they're smaller for playoff best ball. Just the ability to draft in the sort of similar environment to a bunch of people and then see who played that environment the best without having to worry about the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I generally do not want to flip my brain over to playoff best ball mode as early as underdog.
Oh, God.
But with the tool, though, it might make it a little easier.
Man, I need a tool for the playoff best ball for sure. I get, you know, we've talked about it before. Like you want 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. If you can't get that, you know, that stinks. So like you can get it early. It's just like, if you compare it to like best BBMs or whatever, you can't get those or, you know, that order like at the end of the season, like when the season's about to start. But like all those players are probably still playing at least. You know what I mean? And like the fact that you might take a stack that doesn't play is just so costly. But like, yeah, I mean, you know, I'm fine with the idea.
There's also a lot of showdown stuff to it, right? Whether or not how many times you're duplicated in the Super Bowl matters a lot. And so you get to do a whole lot of that stuff as well.
Yeah. Right. Pete, I mean, before we close out, buddy, congrats on your second place.
Oh, thank you.
In your BR, how did that sweat go for you? Was that a fun one?
It was a sweat I didn't know I had. I mentioned this on one of my streams. I had basically ejected from sweating. And I told Lauren, cause like she covers for me for a lot of Sunday when I'm, you know, doing all my stuff in the morning, and she knew who was on my team. I was like, I have this one team that's a Seahawks stack, whatever. But I was like, I'm going to go take care of April. So I went up, was doing her bath, putting her to bed. And I'm literally reading April bedtime stories. And Lauren just texts me number 11 touchdown. And I was like, there's no way. There's like no way. Cause I think last I had seen, they had just punted. There was like 5 minutes left of the game or whatever. So that JSN TD like vaulted me up. And then when I was done putting April to bed, I went down and watched overtime and was like, this is insane to have a roster that I literally thought was going to min cash for $20 finish second place.
It's such a better sweat to be on that end of the hammer.
Oh, yeah.
Than the other one where you're like, please just end this game. Please just end this game.
Oh, yeah, it's the worst.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah. Being on the other side where you're just like, okay, I'm going to look at the scores. I'm going to hope they didn't change. And if they did change, I'm going to have to slowly scroll down and make sure this guy didn't get the touchdown.
The live final for MLB, I was sweating Rowdy Tellez pitching for whatever fucking team he plays for because they put him in to pitch because they were losing by a lot, and if he gave up a hit, I was dead. But luckily, he got three outs somehow.
Wow. But what everyone should be paying attention to is Nerdy. What did he finish? Fifth.
He did.
Yeah,
20 entries. He got fifth.
The robots are coming. We're keeping him behind.
Eight, and I didn't cash. So
you got up those numbers, Brian. You got up those.
The
numbers.
Week before, I did four, and I cashed three out of four, but.
Well, Brian, I'd say there's this awesome tool. It's called the Draft Caddy. It shows ownership percentages. You can scroll down and see how little JSN was being drafted. Highly recommend it if you're looking and dabbling in the BR
suite. I used it. Unfortunately, still didn't win.
Anything else going on over at In-Game Syndicate? I know you guys just did your stream with Davis. People can get access to the Discord next time in 4 years and know who Yuta is betting on in the election. Any other selling points?
I used them this week. He does this like man versus zone projection at adjustments. Ooh. That I've been adding into my ETR projections and stuff. But we're gonna do a round table next week at some point, and then a video on projections coming up. I think that's the only stuff we got on the docket. We're working on stuff from behind the scenes, but everything takes forever, so nothing yet.
Gotcha. Anything else for you, Shady? Appreciate you hanging out with us today.
No, always fun. Hope you guys get Travis on here soon so we can hear from him.
Yeah. Petty, we'll slide into the DMs if you're available next Thursday. I don't think we have anything booked. It would be fun to hear from you. Otherwise, if you guys aren't subscribed, please subscribe. And for me, we got the Shipcast tonight. Should be a good game. Bengals and Ravens will be sweating that on the Ship Chasing channel. I'll get those pick'ems out in a couple of hours. And then tomorrow, all my DFS stuff, Block Party with JM, Off and On the Clock with the Badge Bros, and my Deposit Kingdom video. That was the other fun wrinkle from that team, Brad. I don't know if you saw that. I drafted that team on the strategy video. Mm. It was my second draft last week. So today I'm just going to do my one and only BR draft of the week and then just shut it down. Cause
is that a record? Is that a record? Highest amount of money won on a live draft?
It's got to be up there. I don't. Is there any good DFS stories like that? Like, you know, at the end of a show, someone building a DFS lineup.
Well, you drafted live the one you took, whatever.
Eighth or whatever. Four. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was like 10K, wasn't it?
No, I think that would have been 20K. I think it was similar amount.
Okay.
But yeah. I do think I can, if I can have one claim to fame in the DFS space, maybe it's the highest ROI on teams drafted on stream. I don't know if anyone can touch that.
Yeah,
so that'll be my claim. All right, guys, appreciate you. Check out InGame Syndicate. Follow Shady Advice on Twitter. Keep an eye out for the leg up best ball stuff for playoffs. And we will see you guys next time on Lulz. Thank you.